Rose explained that the apartment had originally been a storage room with a dirt floor, a magazzino. "We were terribly pleased with ourselves for renovating it," she said, "until the Comune of Venice, the city government, sent us a letter declaring it illegal. I mean, completely, totally illegal, because we hadn't got permission. Mind you, the space hadn't been anything but a rubbish bin for 400 years. I mean, literally. There was nothing of any architectural value in it. No woodwork, no carvings, no frescoes, no gilt, no anything. I suppose we should have known we had to get permission, but if we had known, we'd probably have dropped the whole idea, because it would have meant having to deal with the Venetian bureaucracy, which is an absolute nightmare, nightmare, nightmare." In the kitchen, Rose demonstrated how to operate the washing machine without causing a flood, and how to light the oven without igniting a fireball. "At any rate," she went on, "when the notice from the Comune arrived, Peter had a mega wobbly, and I was frantic because it meant I would have to go to the Comune and sort it out. Nightmare! But all our friends said, 'Don't be silly. Nobody ever bothers to get approval. You simply make whatever renovations you like, then you go to the city officials and confess. You pay a fine, and they give you a piece of paper called a condono, which makes it all perfectly legal." Rose showed me into the living room, which was comfortably furnished with club chairs, reading lamps, a dining room table, and floor-to-ceiling bookshelves crammed with histories, biographies, art books, travel books, and novels ranging from literary classics to pulp fiction. It was the overflow from the Lauritsen's library upstairs. "So I went round to the Comune," she said, "heart in my mouth, and I said, 'I'm dreadfully sorry, we had no idea, no lo sapevamo.' The man didn't believe a word I was saying, of course, but he took pity on me. How could he not, seeing my face creased with worry, hair a tangle, voice a pathetic whine? Anyway, he gave me a condono, thank God, because he could have made us tear out all the improvements and turn the apartment back into a storage room again. I mean, torture, 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 torture." Rose was now standing at the window. She pointed out the various shops on the other side of the canal, the butcher shop, the housewares shop, the local headquarters of the Communist Party, a photo shop with faded wedding pictures in the window. A picturesque trattoria, the Antica Mola, stood at center stage. It had tables set up in front despite the chilly weather. "After you've eaten at the Antica Mola a few times," said Rose, "Giorgio will know you're not a tourist and he'll give you a discount. And that is one of the great secrets of Venice. The discount, lo sconto. Tourists would be furious if they ever found out Venetians pay 30 to 40% less than they do. And not only at restaurants, apparently. It would be worth my while," Rose pointed out, "to make myself known to various shopkeepers, especially the fruit and vegetable vendors. You're at their mercy," she said. "They select the tomatoes or whatever for you. There's no self-service, and if they know you and like you, they won't slip the overripe ones into your bag. And you should remember, everything is negotiable in Venice. I mean, everything. Prices, rents, doctor's fees, lawyer's fees, taxes, fines, even jail terms, everything. You should even get to know a taxi driver, too, because otherwise the rates can be horribly expensive. That white water taxi parked over there belongs to my pet driver, Pino Panada, who's very nice. The taxi's always immaculate, and he's terribly convenient because he lives on the other side of the canal just above the Communists." Having shown me all there was to see, Rose invited me to join her and Peter upstairs for a drink. I accepted, and as I turned away from the window, I asked why, in addition to having iron bars, the windows had been fitted with wide mesh wire screens. The screens would keep bees and butterflies out, I said, but mosquitoes and gnats could fly right through. "Oh, the screens," she said as we left the apartment. "They're not for mosquitoes. They're for irati." Never had I heard the nearness of rats alluded to in such a light-hearted way. Rose's laughter echoed in the double-height entrance hall as she led the way up a long, broad flight of stone steps.